Good morning. Welcome to the Rancho Marietta Community Service District's monthly security meeting, June 2nd, 10 a.m. This meeting is being held via Zoom due to the governor's emergency action on COVID-19. So calling that to order. Item number two, consider the findings as a result of COVID-19 emergency. Meeting in person would present imminent risk to health and safety of attendees. So we're going to continue on the Zoom process, Amelia. Amelia, going to number three, do we have any hands or chats?
I do not have any hands or chats.
Perfect.
And we won't have chats, Tim. We'll only have hands raised. Or folks can speak out if they'd like to.
Very good. So that takes us to item number four, which is security monthly updates. Hello, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning. Good, sir. Okay, I'll begin here. The first issue on the agenda here is the gate guard positions are currently full for our allotted amount of gate officers. Our last person is part-time. He's in training now. And upon his completion, we'll have a full compliance of gate officers. Our patrol, our open patrol officer position and sergeant positions, I'm happy to announce that we have two currently that just started the background procedures and the medical procedures. And hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have those positions full as well and we'll be fully staffed. We continue to use three ABA gate officers to help with our staffing shortages. Right now, we are a little bit understaffed. We have three individuals out on extended absences. This is kind of hurting us right now, but we anticipate them to be back, two of them to be back next week, and the third one to be back next month. So our non-patrol covered average, non-patrol covered shifts, it says 109, but the current accurate number as of this morning is 134 versus 200 hours, which is from last year since implementing the 980. And once again, I think we'll get through this in the next couple of weeks. We should be fully staffed, and we shouldn't see that number move very much after that. Going to our ABDI software upgrade project, has been completed.
Kelly, can I interrupt for just 1 second? Amelia, a point of order for housekeeping. We have a community member that just emailed yourself, the GM, and myself, where he's asking for a passcode to get in.
There's no passcode.
I understand. So I'm going to email him back, basically just saying he needs to try it again and wait for the system to reboot, and he can bypass that passcode. So
yeah. or Tim, he can just call in on his telephone and listen in and participate.
Okay. I will, I'll contact him now. I'm sorry, Kelly, please go ahead.
Okay. The ABDA software upgrade project is completed. The Southgate FastPass system is still, has some glitches, and we're working that out. And hopefully we'll know by today if that should be fully operational. Our safety center repairs, again, we received three estimates, and I am working with the current general manager here to finalize those estimates and to begin work on the safety repairs for our trailer. As far as training goes for our staff, we still have Officer Anderson, who is a gate officer. And once he goes to the 832 school in August, he will join our patrol officers. And we're looking forward to that. We're also looking under the training officer issues is our CPR first aid is about to expire. In some cases, well, it has expired. So we're looking to renew that and get our personnel all, we have several new people as well. We're looking to get everybody CPR and first aid qualified.
Kelly, I have a question on that.
Uh-huh.
Would that, and I apologize for my ignorance on this. I should know it. But would that include the refresher of using AED equipment?
I'm sorry, yes. First aid, AED, and CPR. All three of them is what I understand that this all of our employees have in the past. No?
Perfect.
No, we have not gone. This is Tom. We have not had first aid training. I don't I don't know what that entails. Tim might have a better idea on that, but we have had the AED and the CPR training.
Yeah, I was looking to do all three, but then if that's not authorized in the budget, then we can just do AF, CPR, and AED.
It's not a budget issue. It's a, what is first aid training consist of? In all my time in government, I've never seen people having first aid classes unless they were actually going to be administering first aid as part of their regular job duties.
Right.
Then what's your comment on that?
Well, I think a couple of things. You know, the term first aid, there's a lot of definitions within it. You're seeing the most current one is stop the bleeding type of training that would go hand in hand into, say, CPR training, where it's just a small adjunct of a specific skill. And again, we're seeing that out of the active shooter situations that not having a hemorrhage kit available or teaching people how to stop the bleed type of thing. And so we could take a couple of those components and develop a lesson plan and pass it forward as training for employees. But yeah, you know, a standard first aid 12-30 hour course, it's more logistics. And is that the roles and responsibilities, or would the CPR, AED control the bleed, and that meets our intent for all employees, just not security, but I would have security be the lead department on this. So, I mean, we could talk more, the three of us offline. I like your thought process, Kelly, but I understand what you're saying, Tom. I just think we need to redefine what or reconfirm what our mission is, and then how best can we educate everybody in the organization.
You know, and I also was thinking maybe our security staff who are kind of first responders, maybe they need it the first day a little bit more than maybe the gate officers do, don't need as much as a response. So I was kind of thinking along those lines with our actual patrol officers.
Hey, yeah, this is Mike Ritchie. Travis informs me that we do first aid training and CPR training every 2 years. I think both the security and operations. I'm not sure if admin has done that, but I know that ops and security does do that every 2 years. And we are due.
Michael, it's the first aid issue that I'm curious. Is Travis with you?
Yeah, he's with me right now.
Can he talk a little bit about what, is this an appropriate discussion right now, Tim, do you feel? Or should we take it offline and come back?
No, I think what we do is let's get a synopsis from Travis and get a feel for where it's at and just a time frame, you know, how much time on task is it for this? And then we can kind of figure out where we need to go.
Yeah, because we had the AED and CPR training about 18 months ago.
Yeah, and it's every 2 years.
So we're good on that. It's the first aid one that concerns me because I haven't seen it before. I know that police officers, as part of their post-training, get a level of first aid, first responder exposure. And of course, firemen even more so. But to have our security officers taking on this type of a role, I think is something we really need to talk about, our patrol officers, because, and that's why I'm curious what Travis would have to say about what does first aid training mean? Is it go find the first aid kit and stop the bleeding, like you said? Or are we going to be responsible to administer any sort of initial aid while we wait for the ambulance? So before the district has this kind of liability, I would like to understand what we're talking about.
Right. And I think what we do is we get that from Travis, and then we can figure out truly what our lesson plan is going to be off of the missions of what we're asking our folks.
Okay. So do we do that after this meeting and then come back and talk about what we've learned? And if it's simple, we just say, yeah, this is what we ended up doing and this is how simple it was. But if it's complicated, we might need to talk about it at our personnel committee.
Right. So what we can do is we can just go offline and get a feel for what Kelly's thought process is versus what is going on currently in the district, and do the two match up, or we just, you know, using different terminology. So we don't need to waste everybody's time here. We can take that offline, because one of the things would be, do we want to provide a certain level of education to where it's used just for our employees, right? So we know that CPR training, and you kind of go, okay, it's for our employees. We know that it's worked for a resident out here, right? So maybe it's what that thought process needs to be versus our mission. And we can just clarify all of that.
Okay.
Continue on, Kelly.
Okay, thank you. On May 31st, I attended the Fire Safety Council. They continue as one of their missions is to look for ways to formalize an evacuation plan for the people that need it from Rancho Marietta in the event of a natural emergency. They also look to make our exit gates, the ones that aren't used, like north and south, automatic. And through a cell phone program. One of those are things we're looking at. And they've Betty has requested meetings with myself and Tom on that issue. And they've also requested CSD databases, if we have any, to list all the personnel that may need help getting out of the area. And working with ABDI, we really don't have something in place for that, to give them a list of all the people that need special help getting out. They're also asking CSD through our ABDI program to give them a list of all the people that are first responders or firefighters, paramedics. That way they can have, when they set up their evacuation zones, they know who to assign to assist with that. And I'm working with ABDI, but I don't see how we could give them that exact list. And so those are the two issues they brought up to me yesterday that are kind of in progress with that.
Right. So I think a couple of things, Kelly. One, I don't think our ABDI, and I would hope, especially for my brothers and sisters on the law enforcement side, and you know better than I, whether they want to advertise that
right.
That's who they are, especially if they're working certain assignments. Right. So that whole process has to be a voluntary process. Secondarily, I think the district, and again, maybe it's a redefinition of what our mission and goals are, especially for security, for folks that do need assistance getting out. And again, we don't even know the number of people that have signed up with SMUD for their lifeline system to keep oxygen running and even ventilators or those things. So again, HIPAA comes into play. But again, that would be a voluntary process. Now, all that being said, because that group is so loosely unorganized, and so many different people are doing so many different things, I think we have to sit down and say, what can we provide? What should we do? I know that Metro Fire owes a document to the GM, specifically on county ordinance or Metro Fire ordinance on exit routes from communities and exactly what does that entail. So I get all that conversation. It's going the right direction, but I think we need to control it, and maybe control is a bad word, but we need to direct that to a more comprehensive process than some self-appointed group asking for some pretty personal information.
Right. And I've kind of given them the initial responses. I don't think we could do that. And that's been my position. And those are things that they're asking. I just want to bring that to your attention.
Perfect. Perfect. No. And you're spot on. And again, not to belabor it here, I'll reach out to the GM and yourself specifically on this and kind of figure out, because this is obviously morphed into something that I don't know if they're working with county OES on. You know, I just, it's an unorganized group just asking for personal information, and I don't think we need to be stuck in the middle of it, but we need to find out really what are our roles and responsibilities. Not only then we can educate the community, but at the end of the day, we're still looking for funding for security.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on to Rancho Marietta events.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Yes. Moving on to the Rancho RMA issues that we had this week, or I'm sorry, this last month. One of the things that we're doing is I've met with Tina and Kevin and their whole crew to discuss the July 4th event and what CSD's role is. I've been given a preliminary list of things that they've asked for, such as to get the Sheriff's Department requests generated, to get private security, such as ABA or contract security. They've asked me to contact the fire department to lead in the parade. They've gone over manning and positions, flares, logistics. Those are the things I met with last month in anticipation for the July 4th events. I've also met with Kevin again about the vandalism suspects. The juvenile, the kids are out of school for the summer. There's a lot more vandalism now starting to pop up in the restrooms. And they've identified some of the suspect kids, and they are meeting with their parents, and they are doing follow-ups. And I've been helping out with that with our cameras and what identifications we've been able to make. So we've been working together as a team so they can try to help combat that problem with their juveniles, specifically in our restrooms. So we did that. The other issue that I wanted to bring up with RMA is they're going to do on June 26th, they're going to do a community event with the Sheriff's Department. It's a huge event. They're going to bring in all the resources, the undersheriff, all of his command staff, the helicopter, the boats, the horses, the dogs. It's from, I think, 11 to 2 at Stonehouse Park, and they want to make it open. And when they assure us it's not just a dog and pony show, that they really want to hear from the residents of the community, and they want to address all the issues. And they're pretty sure that that's a positive date now, June 26th, and they're working on the details with that. That should be a big event, and we'll be up there helping them in any way we can. One of the sidebars from that, and this is what I wanted to bring up to Director Mabee, is that Sergeant Rowe works directly for the Undersheriff Barnes. And one of the things I'm letting her know is a lot of people here are dissatisfied with the level of service that they get from the Sheriff's Department. And it means that there's not a lot of patrols out here. We don't see them out here a lot. And she says, well, one of the problems is that we're not generating enough calls for them, for their stats, so they can address more resources out here. And one of the problems she thinks is that we're handling us security, or handling the type of calls that really should go in their queue and let their patrol officers handle it. And then that would show, hey, there is a need for service out here. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have her come in and talk to the board and to the public. And I've asked for something in writing. Hey, what kind of calls are you suggesting that we handle versus security? And to get some direction and guidance on when the sheriff should be called and directed versus us. And with your approval, she would love to come to our board meeting and talk to the public and talk to the board about that, about those issues.
Kelly, thank you, first of all, for getting a contact. I know that Undersheriff Barnes has expressed the same thought process as well. And even though the calls we do handle that should go to the sheriffs, that call volume, when you compare it to other parts of their jurisdiction, is still going to be small, but nonetheless, it's underreported, right? So the answer is yes. I would think what we would need to do is set up a conference call with the sergeant. Okay. And just make sure the expectations of where we're at and how that looks. And at the end of the day, the answer is yes. Have her come to a board meeting, and we could make it as soon as the 15th if we can get a conference call with her. Okay. So the answer is yes to all of that. Then I have a couple of issues. This is towards the GM. On the June 26th, events, our ballot measure flyers, talking points that the directors are working on needs to be dialed in 100% and plan on us having talk to the board members there and get that issue for the funding of security, a booth at that location. The other is, Kelly, back to you, just confirming that RMA is working on the FastPass access. Our tablet will be ready, and we're staffing overtime for it as well.
For the fourth, our FastPass North is working, and Tina advised me, yes, that they've already started to advertise to the residents to get your guests registered ahead of time for the 4th of July events. And the FastPass on the South Gate, hopefully we'll have it up and running 100% today is the goal.
Okay, and so staying with that for a second, is RMA doing the formal incident action plan, or is that back to us?
No, she's done her, if you call it an action plan, and then I'll do my local one here for our people. But yeah, they'll be open. We'll have all hands on deck for security personnel. I'll be here all day. So we'll definitely put our resources into the 4th of July festivities. As far as the June 26th, that's primarily all them. They're handling everything. The sheriffs
are coming. And I get that 1,000%. Like I said, we'll help them however we need to be there. And it might be one of those we pass along to Metro Fire Station 59. I can't even tell you what shift's working, but just to advise them that, you know, we're having this event, not that they need to be involved, but, you know, just an FYI. So I get that 1,000%. The other issue I have with FastPass, a resident reached out to me and her code is not working. So I'm going to pass that name and number to you today just for follow-up. I just didn't have the technical expertise to answer her questions.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. Continue on. Sorry.
They can go to the South Gate as well if they need immediate help with that. And we're there 24/7. So.
No, understand. I think she needs it. Somebody to explain, and I just didn't have the technical process.
No problem. We'll help that. We'll make that happen. And moving on to our last issue with Rancho Marietta Commercial Homeowners Association, I met with Ace Hardware owner, and again, we gave her some, she was having some theft, loss prevention, theft issues, shoplifting. She met with our expert in loss prevention, and we're giving her extra patrol in addition to the churches on Saturdays and Sundays. I also met with the manager of the equestrian center. They are also concerned about the increase in thefts, juveniles hanging out in their area, messing with the horses at night. And she just wanted to make sure that we're getting enforcement on inside the gates 24/7. I assured her that that we would. And again, I'll work with the Sergeant Crow and seeing about we can get additional resources out there for their big events. They have two or three big events in a year. And she would like to have some additional law enforcement presence out there. And I told her I would work with the sergeant on that.
Perfect. And then do they meet the crowd level that the sheriffs have to be out there?
That's a question I'll have to, I don't know that. I'll have to ask.
Okay, because I know that the county has, once you hit a certain threshold, you need so many officers as opposed to just having them out there for contract purposes because you want them there. So I think that would help us understand their wants and needs a little bit.
Right. And the number she kept throwing out, she said, we have 100,000 people come through our gates in a year. And there's big events out here. And with the increase in thefts that she's seeing, and like I said, the kids unfortunately go across the street at night and mess with the horses and did some thefts. And she's just saying that she'd like to see a little bit more patrol all the way around.
No, and I get that 1,000%. And so, again, we're back to one of the original things Sergeant Rowe talked about. If she's seeing thefts at the facility, is she contacting Sacramento County Sheriffs? Right. Or is it, hey, it's just happening and there it is, or they call us and We tell them to call the sheriffs and document it, but they don't. So that's part of that process we got to get figured out.
Right. Okay. And as we move on to our next.
And for those of us joining, those of you joining, I have added a new page that wasn't in the packet that's posted. I'll post it as soon as we're done with this meeting. And this is one of the additions to the packet. I also added the last 5 or 6 days onto the security case narrative, the daily listings, because those weren't available when I posted the packet last week.
There's our citations. There's no questions. We can move on from that. Mm-hmm. Sure. Trees. We're still working on the denieds with
the. No, this is the denied.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
The all.
Yeah.
The all entries.
Yeah, all entries.
We're working on that with ABDI, trying to get the glitch out of that system.
That's correct.
Everybody's favorite incidents of note.
I'll start it off on May 1st, 2022 at approximately 14:14 hours. We have suspicious activity at the Equestrian Center. This is outside the gates. CST security was contacted as individuals driving around the area and peeking into vehicles at the Equestrian Center. The possible suspect was driving a gray Kia Sport license number. It's not listed here, but we do have the actual license number. The PR shouted at the individuals and they fled the area westbound on Jackson. CST security obtained the vehicle's license plate and we turned it over to the Sheriff's Department. On May 13th at 16:35 hours, there was a theft at the airport storage, was reported. And this occurred between December 2021 and May 2022. This occurred outside the gates. The victim was advised by the manager of the storage area that his catalytic converter was stolen. The victim has not checked his vehicle for 6 months, therefore didn't have the exact time of theft. Sheriff's Department is notified and a report was generated. Unknown value of property loss. On May 8th, 2022, at 19:27 hours, we had a vandalism at Riverview Park in the bathroom, which is in the south. CST security on routine patrol discovered the bathroom had been marked with the black paint or markers. Several pictures were taken and RMA was advised of the damage. RMA compliance officers were investigating. And like I spoke earlier, they are making headway with some of these vandal suspects. On May 13, 2022, at 17:45 hours, we had vandalism at the North Gazebo bathroom, which is in the north. CST security, again, on routine patrol, discovered the men's restroom walls had been marked with various statements. RMA was notified. Compliance officers are currently investigating. Their instrument was used as most likely a black Sharpie marker. In addition, that what didn't make this last draft is I was just given yesterday from the Equestrian Center on May 23rd, 2022. One of their horse handlers was sleeping in his car next to the stables, and he heard voices and he saw 6 teenage suspects next to the stalls. They were taking pictures and rummaging through the boxes located around the horses, and they were daring each other to get on the horse. The person chased them off and called and talked security. And that's what led to my meeting with the Equestrian manager yesterday. And with very good
point. Do you know if they have any security cameras there?
They do. And that's one of the things I did. They don't have that many of them, or they're not as good as quality. So one of the recommendations I gave to her is to improve their security system, specifically with their cameras. Looking at putting signs at the front of their gate entry points that say, you know, patrol by security, have cameras. Right. In addition to patrol, the other thing that she's interested in, and she was actually interested in doing a kind of a business watch with the Sheriff's Department as well. She said she would be interested in hosting that kind of event. So yeah, we did talk about that, and we talked about what we can do for patrol. And we had a good conversation. It was there about an hour.
Perfect. So I think, Tom, this leads us into our overall camera program. If they're going to upgrade their current ones, we just need to get them what our specs are, so we're all on the same page system wide. And we could just fold in that location as well as the other locations. Continue on. Thank you, Kelly.
If there's no other questions, that's all I have.
Well, shoot. Very good.
Hey, Tim, this is Tom. I'm sorry, I was muted. I thought I was talking. I asked Kelly, do we currently have access to viewing the cameras at the Equestrian Center?
We do not. The closest one we have is outside the village. We do not.
Well, that's our camera. Do you know how sophisticated a system they have?
No, we didn't go that detailed with their camera systems. She's just looking to improve it, but we could definitely do another meeting with her if we're going to add some cameras to their property.
I would appreciate you scheduling a meeting. We can go over there and they can show us what they've got, because we're just getting ready to start scoping.
Sure.
Some of the camera work we're going to do over the next 24 months because with the added development and the collected security impact fees, we're going to be able to professionalize our whole camera footprint. And I want to be able to know what they've got there and what we can do to help with that process at the Equestrian property.
Yeah, we absolutely can do that.
Thanks, Kelly.
No, and that all makes sense from that standpoint. It sounds like item 5 you've already discussed. So I'm good with that. And again, I think some of that, Kelly, is we're just going to have to kind of educate, starting with the sergeant. Here's our type of call volume type of thing. And just like you said, are these things that should automatically go? And again, now really what you're telling us is the talking points of security that, you know, it's got to get referred to the sheriffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to work that.
And Tim,
mechanism. Go ahead.
I really wanted to tie her down with is like, oh, so I didn't really understand. If it's in their queue and we still respond to it, is that good enough for their statistics, or do they actually have to have a deputy out here and push disposition in their car? And so I really don't want, that's one of the things I want to pin her down with. Where does it have to be? Is it just in your queue, or do you actually have to come out here and respond for us to get the credit for it? And we can work with that depending what the answer is.
Right. And so you're going exactly where I was trying to get to. Is it one of those that we notify them and say it's some type of incident we're going to, right? That they would normally handle in the city of Ranch Cordova or anywhere else in their jurisdiction. And so do we inform them we're going to this type of incident and it's logged that way? So you're thinking the way I was thinking, we just have to, because that'll dictate how we do our documentation. Right. from that process. So no, you're absolutely spot on. Thank you.
The thing I asked her too is I go, well, maybe they're not asking for someone to be a substation out here. Maybe we're not asking necessarily to have someone out here 24/7. I go, but if you can assign personnel from whatever division you want to be out here, just like maybe from Wednesday to Sunday during certain hours, that guaranteed that they're going to be out here. I go, that's something the community would be a win, where it's not it's kind of like a compromise. Anything's better than nothing. It's kind of like where I'm thinking.
Right, right. And again, because we're doing tracking, we have our stats. What does that translate to them? And so, no, you're on the right track. Perfect. Okay.
Yep.
That takes me to item number 6. The only thing I can say is I've been getting great feedback about you specifically, Kelly. And again, folks that have interaction at the gates, it's been very consistent and positive. And so for some of us that have been around a while, just having the consistency is leaps and bounds above and beyond where we've been in the past. So we're definitely on the right path. Now it's incumbent upon the board to get this information out to the residents so that they understand really what security does and how they do it and those types of things. So with that, if we don't have anything else, Amelia, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
Very good. There's no chats or hands raised. Nobody's engaging. So that sounds great.
Perfect. Then we'll follow up offline and go from there. Everyone, again, thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.